Well, good morning again, brothers and sisters. The Lord seems to delight in giving me a word that I don't have much time to prepare for. But I believe it's important, and the timing is appropriate. Lord, we do thank you and praise you that we do not depend upon man, but we depend upon you and the Holy Spirit within us to reveal truth, to show us the way, to give light to our path, Lord, that we might walk with you and that we might be drawn closer to you, and that together, Lord, we can see you. And Lord, that you are preparing us to be your bride forever and forever. And as has already been said today several times, we do thank you for those who have gone before, Charles and Mariana, and Jay and Hope and Rick, Lord, that loved you vigorously and now are in your presence. Lord, we look forward to that time when we will all be joined together with you. And Lord, it is glorious. And it is hard for us to understand, but you reveal to us through your Spirit. Thank you, Lord. In your name, we do pray. The Lord touched me with, we're about to celebrate the coming of the new year. And we are inspired, I guess, desiring to lift up the Lord for what he has done, as Judy said, for what he has done for us and what he will do for us, and what we don't know yet, we do want to be in tune with what he is saying and doing. The new year is really, in heavenly terms, not a particularly big deal. It is a marking of a passage of time. In the world, it's almost more of an accounting thing than it is anything else. We close the books on what was done last year and open the books and look forward to, well, what can we do to make it better or whatever. And, of course, we can't. We can try by the world's methods to make things better, but it will only be better as we hold on to the Lord more and more, become dependent upon him. The Lord spoke to the Pharisees, and I'm sorry I don't have this reference. Somebody probably could find it very quickly. The Lord spoke to the Pharisees, and he admonished them because they were whitewashed tombs, he said. They scrubbed the outside of the cup, but the inside is full of all sorts of evil and ugliness. And in the world, being made new often comes with a scrubbing. You know, if you clean the house or scrub the clothes, clean the clothes, whatever, there's an expression that we apply, there, good as new. Well, this isn't new, kind of new that is the Lord is speaking of when he says, I have made all things new. He is speaking of a complete transformation that is made possible by the Holy Spirit, is made possible by His blood shed for us. It is, we enter into it and can only enter into it by faith. And the Lord gives us that faith. The Apostle Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning in verse 5, "Now he who prepared us for this very purpose is God, who gave to us the Spirit as a pledge. Therefore, being always of good courage and knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are of good courage, I say, and prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord." We do want to be pleasing to Him. We want to be in union with Him. We want to be walking with Him. We want to be made new. Over in, continuing on in that chapter, in verse 14 and following, "For the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died." We died in Him. Therefore we can be made new in Him. "And He died," verse 15, "died for all, that they who live should no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died and rose again on their behalf. Therefore, from now on, we recognize no man according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh. Yet now we know Him thus no longer. Therefore," verse 17, "therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now these things are from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and He has committed to us the word of reconciliation." This is the Lord's work. This is the Lord's doing. He desires for us to realize, to walk in being made new. We are new creatures. We are not just whitewashed tombs. We are cleansed inside and out. We are made new, as only God can do. And He does this for us. He does this for His people. He does this for those who believe. We are cleansed by His blood. We are made new by His blood, which cleanses us from all unrighteousness. The Lord loves us. The Lord cares for us. He has provided for us. He wants us to know Him. He wants us to realize that when we hold out our hand in prayer or in meditation on Him and reading the Word, that He takes our hand every time. He leads us in the way He wants us to go. We don't just push aside last year. We don't just know, well, if we do this, that, or the other thing, everything's going to go well this coming year. We are new. We are new. We are made new by the one, the only one, who can make us new. We've already read this these scriptures, and I'm just want to read again. In Revelation 21, John again is continuing to speak. He's been had so much revealed to him and revealed of the Lord. Verse 1, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth has passed away." This is truly a new year, a new time, a new millennium. "For the first earth passed away, and there is no longer and there is no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem," the new creation, the creation as God intends it to be, "New Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband." We are in that city, New Jerusalem, along with all who have known the Lord and trust the Lord and been cleansed by his blood. "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God, where he dwells, is among men. He shall dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be among them. And he shall wipe away every tear." We've had many tears, many things that we struggle and suffer with in the flesh of this life. "But he is wiping away every tear from our eyes, that there shall no longer be any death, and there shall no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. First things have passed away." Verse 5, "And he who sits on the throne said, 'Behold, I am making all things new.'" This is not the old cleaned up, not the way of men. We're not going to, "Well, I'm going to do better this year. I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to exercise more. I'm going to do..." No. All that is just stuff. It has nothing to do with a new heaven and a new earth. He is making all things new, and we are in him. We are with him. He says to John, "Write these words. Write, for these words are faithful and true." He said to me, "It is done." It's all accomplished. He has won. We are in his victory. "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end." This is beyond my understanding, but I am trusting in the Lord to make it more and more real to me. It is real. It's not that he's making it more real, that I can understand it, that we can understand it, that he is the beginning and the end. It's not just something that we say and sing, and it's wonderful that we do, but he is the beginning and the end. He has done all things, and he is accomplishing all things. "I will give to the one who thirsts from the spring of the water of life without cost." Again, that's not the way of the world. We expect things to cost. We expect things. It's one of the reasons we struggle with salvation. A complete salvation. We struggle when he declares us righteous. How can that be? Only because of him. It's because he has done it. He has given us water from the spring, the water of life, without cost. We cannot pay the cost. We cannot repay. And unfortunately, we hold on to, and I know I wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning and I think of, good grief, what have I done? Or what is that thing that's troubling my heart? I can't pay for it. I can't make it better. Only he can do it. And he wants to do it. He loves us. Rejoice. God has done it. Jesus has done it. The Holy Spirit declares it. He who overcomes shall inherit these things. When we trust him that our sins have been washed away and there is no accounting for them, there is nothing to pay back because it's taken care of completely and utterly. He who overcomes, that's how we overcome in him, shall inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. We are in the Son. We are the Son. He declares us to be. We are brothers and sisters of Christ. The Lord is coming again, and we will be with him forever and ever. Some of us may not, we don't know his timing, but we know he will do it. And we can trust in him. We can believe that he loves us. We can believe and trust and walk in his ways because he carries us. He gives us the water of life. He gives us the bread of life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Let us rejoice. We count the passing of another year, but it's not as important as he who controls the years, he who made time. We thank you and praise you, Lord, that you love us and care for us. Lord, we ask you to help us to dwell upon the things that you have said and are doing. And Lord, we look forward to your coming, that the binding, that Satan would be bound for 1,000 years and we would live and rule and reign with you in that time. And then that you would protect us and keep us when the enemy is released again. We look forward, Lord, that we can trust you and that you have no hesitation. There's nothing to hold you back. All has been taken care of. All has been paid for. And we desire and to delight in your way. Help us, Lord. Help us not to Lord, help us not to be carried to look with the eyes of flesh and see the things around us. It's a mess. We know it. We recognize it. And you will deal with it. And we trust you for that, Lord. Praise your holy name. Glory be unto you. In your name. Amen. There is time if there's something that the Lord's put on your heart or something that stirred you up today in our time together or in what I've tried to share, I would be thrilled to hear it. We all would.
I can just add a couple verses I've been thinking about for the last couple weeks, maybe just last week. Anyway, Romans 8, verse 9, 10 and 11. But you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so be that, the spirit of God dwelleth in you. But if any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And this next verse is the one that I pondered for a while, and it's kind of, it's neat. First Romans 8:10. If and it says and if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin. The body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. But then it says, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ Jesus from the dead shall give life also to your mortal bodies through his spirit that dwelleth in you. If there is life in our mortal bodies, it's only through his spirit living in us.